guys, welcome back to another episode of the Rock Rewind Review. I'm Jay.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Mel.
I'm sorry, you're who?
Mel.
And what's going on?
I took the job offer.
Hell yeah.
The votes came in.
Yeah, it wasn't a job offer. It was, well, I mean, I guess it was.
It was laid on the table. It was left to the listeners. And
there's
they voted.
A job offer through force.
So the listeners, just to run it back, in case you're just tuning in to this series, season one, the listeners wanted you on. You won some tickets. You got to be in the studio. And
I was
on
a guest
show.
On the
very guest for a day.
Correct.
And we blew it up, and it was great. And so the listeners really like wanted to hear you again. So we brought you back, and then we did like this weird job interview. You did the news, which
baptism
I thought was great.
Fire. Came over here.
If we could never say that again, then we'd be great. And then now we're here to count the votes.
Right. It was on Twitter and Instagram.
That's right. And
if you need our socials, by the way, maybe you forgot to vote. Maybe you wanted to vote. Maybe you did vote. But
it's closed. But yeah, shout them out, please.
Yeah. But our Instagram is Official Rock Rewind Review Pod. And our Twitter is Official The Rock Rewind Review Podcast.
Perfect. So, with that said,
can I plug myself real fast?
Yeah, do you have some? Yeah, before it was like, where can people find you? If you want people to find you, you're like, I don't want anyone to find me.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Now, when I was asked last show, where can you find me? And I was like, well, if I don't work here, you're not going to find me. No, thank you.
Which is a great answer.
I got to agree.
But now that I do, and I'm employed by the show, I would just like to say that you can find me on, you know, any of the socials, and I can respond that way. You can email us at therockrevindreview@gmail.com.
Any of our main communication lines.
Or if you want to get directly to me, you can use my Instagram, which is my initials, MMM, and Sadie, Sadie, standard spelling, 2, T-O-O, because it means also. So MMM and Sadie 2. Sadie's my dog, by the way, and that's my Instagram.
Exponents.
Yeah, so M cubed.
And Sadie.
M to the third.
Triple R.
Yeah. It's all about those exponents. Ooh. They're that little floaty number, by the way.
Oh, the one at the top?
Yeah.
You're both nerds.
Math rules.
Yeah, I like math. Math's fucking dope. Yeah. When I don't have to do it.
We can listen to some math rock later.
We can get into some math metal. No. Maybe next week.
Yeah, it'd be a good topic.
Yeah, math metal. Yeah. I got a band around.
Schoolhouse Rock?
No.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
No.
That's a good pun, though. I like that.
Yeah, conjunction, junction. What's your function?
Hey. Yes, and we can sing about the preamble and how a bill becomes a law.
I was just going to say, that's the one.
That's
the
it. One. That's it.
Oh, yeah. God.
I'm going to say veto.
Oh, man.
Right. Pocket veto.
Oh, Lord.
That's like a, let me just fucking hang on to it.
Yeah, just let it sit here.
Let it ride.
Yeah.
Marinate.
Put it in my hopper and let it sit there.
Right, right, right. So we get some, okay, other than government, we have some other shit to get to. What are we getting to?
Well, so we had we had some problem with the Clutch show, and we were going to address that
because
we're all about honesty and upfront as a show. So
right, and here's the thing, and I'll just say it upfront, and that was my fault. So we had an admin that's since been let go that was supposed to secure tickets to the Clutch show, which I think, well, Clutch is great, but more importantly, Helmet was also opening, which I would think that is the better show. And we'll get to that. So
back burner for now.
Back burner. That's right. So we kind of shouted it out last week, and you had about 30 hours to get at us, right? With, you know, on Twitter, like, hey, hashtag Hammerjacks, hashtag Triple R, whatever. As soon as we see that, first person to do it gets the tickets.
Yep.
So, a good friend of the show, J2 is what he goes by. You can check the Twitter. You can find him, and you can see that we apologize to him directly, publicly. He won the tickets. Well, we didn't have them.
Right.
And that's on us.
That's why.
That's
the admin, gone.
Yeah. They gone.
They gone.
They gone. We'll say they. So, but we're going to make it right.
Right.
He's going to get two tickets to whatever show he wants to go to in the future. And he's willing to
work with us.
I mean, comment on the show that he gets two free tickets to with whoever he chooses to bring. And he's going to come on the show and talk about that show. So it's good.
Yeah. And I'd like to, again, really thank him for working with us and, you know, dealing with our mistake. And it's just like real life. I mean, I guess you just apologize and you do what you can to fix the mistake. And he was more than happy to work with us. So thank you.
Right. And again, we thought we had the tickets prior to, but we didn't. We tried to get them, you know, 30 hours before. Obviously, it's sold out.
Right.
So
mistakes happen and we're going to make up for it. And thank you, J2, for, you know, your patience and helping us.
But the takeaway from it was J2 and I, so with that show, and you can listen to last episode, but I don't know why the other bands didn't do it.
Yeah. So in the news last week, is this what you're getting at? In the news last week, I talked about the fact that there was the show at Hammer Jacks, but in addition to that, Clutch was putting their portion of the show online, live. Right. Yes.
Live on YouTube for free.
Yes, for free.
Which was great. Yes. And so I don't know why the other bands didn't jump on board with that, which would have been great. I mean, I don't know. And that's
a 100 different.
Yeah, it could be. Exactly. Yeah, and we're not going to speculate.
Right.
But so in the apology, direct message to J2 through Twitter, I was like, hey, man, we're all queued up and we're going to watch the show right here at, you know,
undisclosed
right here location. right here in the studio at, you know,
you're down to
Chimp Simple Radio Media Productions. And so we were commenting back and forth. I was taking notes and Jared, did you watch it?
I only was able to catch little bits in here and there.
Right. So I get it. People have lives and like, it just so happened I was off that day and it was late at night. So I'm like, all right, I'll watch it.
Right, might as well.
Mel?
I watched it, a good portion of it. I really enjoyed the end. I mean, not being rude, saying I liked when it was over. That my wasn't my point. That wasn't finished. My point. But if you did watch the live show, towards the end, before they left the stage, they invited someone up onto the stage and it was Mike Dillon? Am I making that up? I don't know. It could be.
Maybe.
But anyway, in the last two songs, there's some cowbell and there's what most people from the DC area would call like a DC vibe, meaning that it sounds much like go-go music, which if you know, you know. But if you don't,
and I'll
have to teach you on a different episode about it.
Okay.
Because we can talk about proper utensils and rare essence, and we can talk about all the different bands.
Well, I don't know anything about that, but so like, J2 and I were watching it, and he's like, oh, I really like that. In the encore, they brought Old Boy back that had previously recorded with some bongos and some other records, and I think that's who you're referring to. And he's like, yeah, it has this like go-go vibe. And I'm like, I'm
kind of unfamiliar with that.
Because I'm not from
when
here.
When I hear go-go, I think of the clubs with the girls up in
the like the 1960s and like a tube.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Austin Powers type.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's
exactly
what I think of when I hear exactly go-go.
So there's a go-go vibe that's strictly like a DC thing. They are from Rockville. They sometimes sort of claim Baltimore. And like Neil Fallon, the lead singer, he even said it like, hey, we recorded this record in Baltimore, right down the street. You know, we were eating local food off the street, which I'm going to assume is some Royal Farms chicken, which I'm going to leave it at that. And they released the record on Friday. Then they did the show on Saturday, the 17th, which is last week. I don't know. I mean, you guys said you saw some of it.
Yeah, I was reading the live comments, and a lot of people were talking about the songs they wanted to hear, which was not what they were playing. So I'm assuming, not being a huge follower of the band, that they were playing more of their album that they had just dropped, which means no one can sing along. Because at one point he puts the mic out to the audience
and it's just dead air
and it's
crickets.
They didn't get the response, obviously, that he thought he was going to get. And so like in the commentary at the bottom, it's very much people demanding this song and that song. And how are they not playing? This is like their anthem. And this is why I listen to them. So it seemed like even online,
a lot of the issue was their playlist.
So it's right. And it's a double-edged sword. So like, okay, you just dropped a record yesterday. Now you're going to promote it the next day on Saturday. So he even said it up front.
Well, that's why they put the...
And he said it. He's like, look, we just dropped a record last night. We're going to play the entire record all the way through. And it may not be The set list might not be exactly how it is on the record, but we're going to play every one of those songs. And I'm like, and then he said, we're going to play some other things in between. And so I'm like, okay, well, maybe we can hear some stuff that we actually know. So I can appreciate they're trying to plug their new record and they're trying, not even trying, like they don't need to try at this point. Like Clutch has been around for 100 years. They have 30 records or whatever it is.
But just like,
and they're great.
But for the sake of your fans, I feel like play some of the classic stuff.
Well, and that's what I wanted to get to was, and thanks for bringing it up. That crowd was like fucking starfish, right? Mm. They like nothing. They were just there. They existed. They had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, it seems like. So it seems like it was just a lot of elements of that show that kind of made it lackluster. They didn't do a great playlist. The crowd didn't have the energy. You were saying, too, it's an outdoor venue now, too. And you were saying the original venue is indoors. And I am wondering if that has anything to do with it, too.
It might. And, we're supposed to have somebody on the phone that could elaborate more on that. They're not here. So we're just not going to speculate. But from what I know, it used to be an indoor venue. It was closed down. Hammerjacks is like this Baltimore staple. It's huge. It was a thing back in the 80s and 90s, early 2000s. Then it went away. And then it moved several times. And I guess now they're back. And so they opened the Hammerjacks with Clutch and Helmet. And I'm watching the show. And I'm like, well, this is clearly outside. So, well, that's different. And so you get a different vibe from an outdoor show, which, I mean, the weather was good, so yeah, it was fine. There can
be a place where, I feel like depending on the band and the venue and what you're in the mood for, sometimes outdoor shows are better, sometimes indoor shows are better.
Right.
And it depends on the energy you want.
And it has nothing to do with Clutch. Like, they killed it. And it was filmed in, like, 8K or whatever. Like, it was great.
Beautiful job.
Yeah, I mean, the production value was insane. It was really good. But you know, you see different cuts of the crowd, and it's like, did they go to the wrong band? Like, who? Like, they didn't really even know.
Right.
And I think part of it was they're playing a new record, which no one knows, right? Because it was only been out for a day. Unless you're really into it, and you like,
even if you are, you're not gonna get memorized. You're not gonna
right. And I did buy the record. I listened to it like a couple times through, and it's great. And it's what exactly on brand, what you can expect from them, and they're still doing it. But, you know, I need a big news, part one, part two, here and there. I need some old stuff to, like, that what got me when I was 17 to get into them.
Yeah,
and I still like, be a fan. Like, I'm 41. So, yeah. Like, I was 17 when I got into them. Now I'm 41, and I'm still following them.
Yeah, and if you twist in, like, some of your older music, I feel like it would help you appreciate the newer stuff, too.
Yeah, play your new record, plug it, that's fine. But, like,
yeah.
People don't come for music that they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe they do, but like I don't.
You might partially go, like, but you want to hear the hits. That's why you go.
Correct.
Yeah,
and it's like why, like, kind of like System of a Down, like, kind of fell off. Like, I've seen them like five times out of the six. They played music I've never even heard. Yeah. I want some Toxicity. Some like
BYOB.
BYOB.
That's the best one,
right? I want all those songs, and like five times out of six that I saw them. They didn't play any of those songs. And it wasn't even songs that they've even released. Mm. It was just them up there, like,
making noise,
jam banding. And
there's a place for that, but it needs to be
It's called a studio.
I don't even mind when bands jam for a little bit here and there, but you need to lace in
the hits. The
classic, yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah.
70%, give me the shit I know.
75%. I want to hear.
And then I can get the fuck off. I want to
scream with 20,000 other people the lyrics.
Exactly.
Then, you know, anything else is extra. And obviously, I'll love seeing you guys make some weird noise and do your new stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. Give me a weird song. That's fine. But play the 20 hits that I know.
Of course.
For the three records that you have, which you definitely have hits. Number ones, they're chartable. They're great.
If I could just chime in real quick.
I was just going to say, we kind of left Mel out here. So.
No, I was waiting. I was listening. But I just wanted to make the point that I thought the way they played and the lead singer's voice was on point, didn't crack,
killer.
Didn't break. It was perfection on that stage. Like, it was
the band's fault.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
It was the crowd.
for whatever reason, but the band itself, if we're going to like review the show, the band was amazing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Like they were on point. They were tight the entire time. Like I really appreciated their performance. So I would say that.
Yeah.
And I'll just say, I think for me, and you guys, you can chime in too, and then also listeners, correct me if you think I'm wrong. They did play a couple songs from, you know, other previous records, but I think kind of
not enough to keep you laced in.
No, I watched the entire thing, the three song encore, and it was fantastic. But I really think as far as like their new record goes, and it's this, you know, self-titled, The Slaughter Beach, and like it was a fantastic, and it was the fourth song that they played at that show, and it was great, and I was tuned in, I was all the way up, and yeah, we were here to hear it. So
hell yeah,
it was great.
Still well worth the watch.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think and you can correct me if I'm wrong, we're here on the 22nd of September, so I think it might still be up on YouTube, and it is free, so yeah, check it out. It is worth a watch. It's not super long. I think it's like, I don't know how much of it they recorded. They were supposed to go live at 10, but it ended up being like 10:45. So I think it's about an hour and a half. And they did play like 16, 17 songs. So, I mean, yeah, you can
definitely worth it.
You can kind of do the math on it. But yeah, it's up now. So if you guys want to check it out, feel free. And then you can let us know in the comments. And if it doesn't vibe with what we're saying, or slaps, or hits, or
like
whatever.
Always, we want to hear our listeners' two cents on it.
Yeah, give us your, like, you know, your pennies.
Yeah, and another thing, maybe we can get our 2 cents from our viewers on. Is,
oh yeah, pennies.
We have another. I think we have a new record we want to give a little listen to, and
yeah. So
as always, we'd love to hear the responses from the listeners, if they liked it, didn't like it, what they thought.
Yeah, but so before you bring it up, so each of us kind of thought of a record, mm-hmm, and then we voted on which one we were gonna do. And so I said Deftones, Adrenaline, and Mel had.
I was gonna.
She gave up early though.
I wanted to take a deep dive into Tom Petty and one of his albums. But once I started doing that, I realized that it would make a much better segment of another show.
For something else later.
Yeah, so I just pocketed him for now.
But you pulled it out. So then it just turned into two records, and then Jared...
He was there. But my choice was offered, but then, like I said, when I was doing the research...
Yeah, she had a good idea. We're not going to reveal too much, but
we have something
planned a little down
but
the road.
But if you pull your entry out, you can't vote on the existing two. So that just leaves him and I. And, of course, I brought up what I brought up because that's what I want to talk about. And likewise for Jared. So yeah, then it's a stalemate.
And
so
I think we just kind of landed on... I know, because it's newer.
And I think what you picked is probably better. And I don't know anything about them. So Jared's going to take us into a medium dive into this band. And
here
we go.
They're a newer band. They're out of Australia.
Oh, nice.
It's been interesting, too. I've noticed, at least myself, that Australia has been blowing up a little bit the last few years. Like, more than they ever have with music, but that's another debate. But they're called The Chats, and they're from Australia. They're kind of a punky garage band. I think, Mel, you even said they sound kind of garage band, which is pretty funny, too, because they self-describe their music as shed rock.
So like a shed, but like a garage. But it might be...
I think that's what Australians call...
Yeah, they have different words for different things.
But, you know, kind of just some dudes in a garage rocking out and making noise.
With a jumbuck.
And that is very much what they kind of sound like. I think me and you even said they kind of remind us of that, like, 60s, 70s English punk rock, like, very much Sex Pistols-y.
Yeah.
But formed in Australia in 2016, The Chats. This song is called 6-liter GTR from their new album that dropped.
That sounds like a gnarly-ass car.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a car guy. So you said it's from 2016?
No. The band formed in 2016.
Their album Get Fucked, which...
nice.
Hell yeah. Gotta fuck love, yeah, love an aggressive name.
Okay, like, everybody's a fan now just because they titled their album that. Like,
oh, yeah. Get Fucked! But
Was there an Aussie
you gotta
person?
Say
there?
Like, I don't know.
What just happened?
I don't. Get fact. But
walk up the destination. Fucked.
Oh yeah. But yeah, this was dropped. Their whole album was dropped about a week ago, and this is a 6-liter GTR off. Get
and,
fact.
And this is the single 6-liter GTR.
Yep.
From the chats, we're going in. So there you guys go. You heard the hook. It's fast. It's intense. And it's an animated video. It's really cool.
Yeah, I would say you definitely for the listeners, go on YouTube and look up the official music video because it adds a lot to it. Like, yeah, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, and we can link that in the show description too.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, it's definitely worth a look, especially the official version. So, and that's their original artwork, and they're talking about some crazy car, and it's very, to be honest, it's very Mad Maxy.
Oh yeah,
if that makes any sense. Which also that's Aussie for Northern Hemispheres. That your toilets flush the wrong way.
Oh, do ours.
Yeah, Coriolis effect. We can talk about that too on the science corner.
We'll have another little science corner for us. A new bit.
Yeah, what do you got?
I don't think you're the man for the science portion, but I just absolutely love the video. I think it adds a lot. I like the style of it, so I definitely think the listeners should go and find that out. And just again, the sound of it. It sounds very very unpolished, which we talk about a lot, not overdone and over.
Well, I think that's why they labeled it, you know, shed rock. And like I said, when I heard it, I labeled it like garage rock. And the other two things I wanted to mention real fast is one, in the song, they mentioned cheesesteaks. So any song that mentions cheesesteaks, I'm like, I'm all in.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that. But also, it made me think of, and I don't know if it was the video and the sound, but I really thought like I felt like I was watching a Beavis and Butthead episode.
It did have that feel, right?
Yeah.
Like,
but without you say that, dead on. That looked like a
yeah, and like
I a music video.
I didn't even think of that until you said it, but TV it was that.
Cornholio.
Okay, let's keep.
Okay,
focus.
Sorry.
So, but yeah, it did have it very much that vibe without the you know the two fucking animated dickheads,
right?
That ruined fucking
everything.
The filter or ruined fucking Alice in Chains or whatever it was back in the day. So
yeah, but yeah, again, back to they did mention cheesesteak, so that's good. Go listen to that part if nothing else.
Oh, from Philadelphia, New South Wales, and,
whatever,
Queensland.
What?
Australia. We're naming Australia.
Oh, okay, yeah, cheesesteaks. I'm just stuck.
The Australian cheesesteak, mate.
There's that crazy Australian again.
Boy.
Go to anger female, huh? See if I can't squeeze in real close, lock. Get a strike at me.
Fucking go down to the mangas. Go down to the Maccas, get a fucking cheesesteak. I don't even know if they sell them.
Crikey.
All right, well, we're done with that because
we're going to
embarrass ourselves. And
our listeners will tune off at our bad accents.
Well, and our listeners, Dan Unda, will correct us.
Oh, for sure.
Harshly.
Okay. Last thing I'll say, that's not a knife. This is a knife.
All right.
You guys good? The snort for the end. Oh, two of them. You got the double snorts.
Back to back.
All right.
All right. Well, I think I got to recompose my snort, so we're going to go on a little break now.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to be back with, what do we got coming up?
We got a little bit more news that attains to the show, but we'll save that for when we get back.
All right. That sounds good. So we're going to take it out with what we always take it out to. And yeah. So again, if you guys have anything to
tell us,
add
to the show,
tell us, add, and then it's a three piece. So if one of us isn't there on the return from the break, you'll know why. We may have all killed each other, and you'll just hear the song for infinity.
There you go. So,
I'll just leave it up for infinity. No, I'm just kidding. All
right.
We're
going to
take a break. We'll see you guys soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Rock Rewind Review. We got some stuff to talk about. More importantly, Patreon. So, you can find us at patreon.com/TheRockRewindReview. And I just want to shout out to our two newest patrons, which is Ryan and Jill.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your support.
Yeah, we want to give them a special thanks. I mean, having people not only listen to us, but go out of their way and pay money out of their pockets to support us means a whole lot.
Right. And the reason that we do it is so for every 5-star review that we get, we donate $5 to a local music scholarship for underprivileged kids that want to make music that otherwise couldn't. And to be honest, if we don't invest in the future of music, we just fucking won't have any.
That's right.
So your money goes a long way. Ryan, Joe, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For the kids.
Support and love is a, you know, undepleting resource, and they're showing us love. We're going to show that school some love. And
That's right. That's what we're going to do.
That's what it's all about, supporting each other.
Whether we have patrons or not, we're still going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what it is.
Definitely.
So with that said.
With that said, I was just going to mention that on the Patreon. No, that's not how you say that.
Patreon.
Oh, see, thank you. Teamwork makes the dream work. There's a cutting room floor bonus material.
Correct.
And that is where you're going to find information about us that we just kind of stream of consciousness before we go on to make the free show. Or sometimes it's stuff that we thought was going to work for the show that just ends up, well, on the floor. And then we put it together for you as the bonus material. And you can find it there. Also, it's sometimes what we use to warm up to get ready for the show. And also, I'm new here, so we're kind of getting to know each other. So that kind of, without the added pressure of being recorded and having to be perfect, allows for us to vibe together.
Yeah, we just kind of shoot the shit, talk about whatever we want to talk about. I mean, I think we're all, you know, becoming more and more friends. I mean, me and Jay were already pretty close friends, but we didn't know each other that long before we started, and adding you on here, we're kind of just all getting to know each other a little more, and that's some of the conversations, like you said. Some of it will be bits we didn't quite think made it, and it'll just kind of be controlled chaos.
It's our gift to you.
Yeah, controlled chaos in form of conversation.
So it's a give and take.
Yeah, but look forward to that. I'm sure it'll be interesting.
Right, and it's stuff that didn't make the show, so right. It's just kind of...
It's not going to be duplicate, I think, is what he's trying to say. It's not going to be like you heard the show and now you're going to hear it again on the cutting room floor. It's literally stuff that wasn't used or is just so out of left field. Yeah, like just.
But so. We still think our fans will enjoy it. So
it's a lot more freeform, a lot less, you know, itemized in terms of what we talk about and how we talk about it. So I think you'll see a little bit more of our personalities kind of shine through.
Definitely.
That's just my opinion.
No, I definitely agree with that. It'll be interesting for the fans and us to kind of just learn more as we talk.
Right.
Yeah.
So, no, I think Mel had something. What do you got?
Oh, I was just going to say it's time to do the news by Mel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, let's go.
All right. So, if you recall, last week in my job interview, I talked about Ozzy Osbourne and his new album, Patient Number 9. Well... Big news. According to Billboard, Ozzy Osbourne earns his first ever number one top album sales spot on the Billboard chart.
Yeah, it's big.
Wow.
It's huge.
It's kind of hard to believe that he hasn't already been there, though.
Yeah, after like, you know, like 100 years or whatever.
I don't think he's quite that old.
Close.
No, he's literally like, he's been doing music old enough for like 100 years.
Well, hey, he does it for the fans.
True.
Well, you said that last week.
I did.
And that was a big get, like, for me. Like, I really like Ozzy, but, like, you know, and I know that, like, people have to make money, right? And they have to go on tour and they have to do those things. But at the same time, just knowing that that makes it way better. Because I've been to Ozfest a couple times and it's 50-50. If he shows up or not. Yeah. Well, and that was a long time ago. And, you know, I'm like, well, the guy's old, so like maybe he's just fucking tired.
Well, I think also it goes along the line, he's always been quite the showman. Right. Like, you could tell that he's a guy who wants you to enjoy the performance, and he wants the performance to be unique, and he wants you to walk away like, what the fuck did I just see? Yeah. And what did I just experience? He wants you to talk about it the next day. He wants that free publicity.
Just, he doesn't just want a concert. He wants a experience.
Right.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay, well, moving on. So today is Joan Jett's birthday.
Oh.
She was born in 1960, so if you feel like doing that math, go ahead. I'm not. Wow. But, side note, Mel is a
62.
Big... Okay, Mel is a big fan of birthdays. So this is news for two reasons. One, you get to learn that I am a big fan of birthdays, not just my own, but anytime we can celebrate and eat cake. But it's also Joan Jett's birthday. So
she's 62, by the way.
Oh, he did the math.
I said it before.
Oh, do you know what year she was inducted into the Hall of Fame with the Blackhearts?
2006.
2015.
Oh, fuck a bit. I just guessed. I had no fucking idea.
Okay. Well, the reason
she's not on my radar.
Oh, oh, well, she should be.
It's good news.
Because here's why she should be. Okay.
Okay.
So the Foo Fighters are busy planning the next
death of the.
Hey, shush.
Oh, sorry.
This is my segment. So the Foo Fighters are busy planning the LA Taylor Hawkins concert. Star-studded, some of the people that were at Wimbledon show will be at this one, but Joan Jett has signed on to be one of the performers. So that's why she's relevant. In addition to it being her birthday today, and I won't make anybody else sing with me the happy birthday song.
But we can, it's copyrighted.
Okay. But another note of interest is that Miley Cyrus, who I'm a huge fan of, will also be playing at the... LA Taylor Hawkins concert.
Same show?
Yeah.
What venue is that?
I don't know where it is.
But it's just in LA somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the listeners, I'm sure, can find it. And we can always link in the information down below, too, which we'll be sure to do with all the information.
So, I'm sorry. You mentioned Joan Jett. She's opening for the Foo Fighters?
No, she's just one of the she's one of the performers at the concert.
Oh,
it's
a tribute concert
to Taylor Hawkins. Gotcha. So she's one of the people performing, as is Miley Cyrus.
All right. Okay, cool.
Is it kind of like a day festival vibe where it's kind of all day?
Much like the, I don't know if you watched online, the Wimbledon concert, the tribute to Taylor Hawkins? No?
I did not.
Okay, well.
I know his son blew it. The roof off the dump.
Yes, he did. And so, yeah.
I did see that clip.
It's a next, it's like the next leg in that tribute.
Okay, makes sense.
Okay.
You might have to...
That adds up.
Yeah, you might have to watch some of it.
Oh, I'm definitely going to watch it.
Yeah, definitely. Give us a little bit of a review.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Hell yeah.
The Rock Rewind review.
Hey, that's the name, baby.
gmail.com.
Okay, so Halloween's right around the corner. And if you don't like to go out on Halloween and you want to spend your weekend getting in the spirit, one of the things that you can do is watch some of the streaming events online. And one of the bands, groups, that is going to be premiering on that weekend of October the 28th is Pussifer?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, I tried. And so what they like to do, if you know anything about them, is they really bring together this idea of a concert with a film. So it's really bringing home the experience of being at a live show or watching a movie in the theater, blending it together and giving it to you in the comfort of your own home. So they're going to have essentially two feature films, if you will. And they did this back in 2020 as well.
Oh yeah. Like a grindhouse, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's very interesting. I mean, I know like silent films, you know, people tend to think they are silent and they are, but way back when it was popular, I know they had sometimes full orchestras in the theater that would play music along with the silent film, and it kind of reminds me of that almost.
Well, Jay, you just mentioned who the lead singer is for the, right? He's from Tool?
He's from Tool. He's from A Perfect Circle.
So, yeah.
Maynard James Keenan. He's also, I think we talked about it before, I think he's from Ohio.
Oh, well, I was just thinking about like the videos and the other bands that he's been in and how the theatrics kind of go hand in hand with him.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it makes sense that this
group would
do that.
Yeah, it seems like a perfect mashup.
So this is streaming free somewhere?
Yeah, online. You have to buy tickets. It's not free.
Okay, but you can still stream it.
Yes.
Do you get tickets for it?
At their band's website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so you can buy, again, there's two feature films. each film is $15 a piece, but if you buy the two for, it's $25. And the,
save a little money.
Yeah, these discount prices are until October the 21st, and then after that, the prices will go up.
Right.
Because, and again, it shows, it premieres on the 28th.
Right. Okay, that was my next question. When does it actually show up? It's the 28th. And you got to be locked in front of some screen somewhere, provided you purchase tickets.
Yes.
At a certain time, and then
yeah, I really like that idea.
That's no, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I feel like honestly that might take off. I feel like we might see more bands doing that.
I thought we'd see more of it during the pandemic, but
yeah, that would make sense. But I feel like it'd be one of those things you have to shoot beforehand and have prepared.
Yeah, but they may have done it during the pandemic, and like it's really good material, and they're like, well, how else do we get this out? And we're just gonna do it.
Yeah, kind of like the cutting room floor.
Right, right.
There you go.
Yeah, it's great, but it's just. Didn't make
reduce,
the show.
Reuse, recycle.
There you go.
Right, triple R.
Oh,
look at that. Dang. Back to the exponent.
That might need
to
be some interesting stickers later. Some reduce, maybe. Recycle. Come on now.
Yeah.
It'll just be
the symbol, the cube. Three arrows. With
it's a white sticker, but just a cube at the top right.
Yeah, what do you think, listeners? You like that?
The little number's an exponent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Just so you know.
It's the one thing I've learned.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got a show coming up too.
Oh,
I mean, not me. Trust me, I'm not going to the show. I've seen them before. It was absolutely wildly wonderful, and it was a fantastic amount of moisture that was spewed upon the crowd, and that's what I'll say. And then with what I'm gonna say, it will all make sense, especially for you that are in the know. So we got Gwar.
Gwar.
And yeah, you can look that up in your free time if you don't know who they are.
And that's, you're home alone with no one around watching your screen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's Thursday, November 3rd. And doors open at 7. They say it's going to go to 11. I've seen Gwar before. It's going to go longer than that. And that's at the Baltimore Soundstage. And I don't know if you don't know where that's at. It's 124 Marketplace, Baltimore.
Have your costume ready.
And have your costume ready.
And maybe a poncho.
Yeah, or really probably just don't go.
Oh, that's not nice. Different strokes for different folks.
Did I say that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, did I say that?
I thought we were on mute.
No.
I mean, go. Enjoy your time. You know, use your money.
Hey, like Mal said, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, Some people
like to play dress up.
And yes, and... So do they, but it is some, if you've
it's
never
a lot,
seen
it's a
it,
lot if it's not your thing.
It's a lot if it's not your thing, but even if it's not your thing, but you still like that sort of theatrical weirdo metal, that I think they're the only band in that genre,
they're
to be honest
genre.
With you.
They are yeah, that genre.
They are that genre. And so go see them. No, seriously, like go. Go see it. Because you'll never see anything like that ever again.
Something to talk about.
Yeah, I've seen it twice, and it was...
So you're a fan.
Not... hold on. I've seen them twice, and it wasn't even the same show twice.
Was it in Ohio?
It was not, actually. So, yeah, I wish I could say that, because you know where it always goes back to, but it was not. Am I a fan? If it comes on, I won't... change it, but I don't seek it out, but it's never going to come on, really. So they're just going to come on the fans, because there's a giant thing that...
Yeah, let's just
that's
save
for,
that.
Fan discovery later.
Yeah, right, fan discovery in your own time.
Yeah, spoiler. Yeah, figure that out.
Like we said, bring a poncho.
Jared said it first. You got it.
Well, I think I have a little bit of news, too.
What do you got?
So... I think people are going to be pretty excited about this, seeing as it's been, I think, over 20 years since the original to this. But Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh.
Everybody knows them. Everybody loves them. I mean, like I said, they've been in the industry for, geez, I think at this point almost 30 years.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
But in 1995, they dropped, I think the term is rock opera.
Rock opera.
Rock opera, yeah. Hyphen that down really quick.
Listeners, yeah, sure. however you want to do it.
But a rock opera goes by the name of Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
Double disc. I remember that.
Huge track list.
Yeah.
And I think they've dropped 12 or 13 projects since then. But this is going to be the official sequel to that.
So it's a sequel. So it's like
it's going to be long.
100% follow-up to that double disc.
A true sequel. I think 33 different tracks right now is what they have on there. And they did release a little teaser single from it, too, which I think we have queued up that we're going to listen to.
Yeah, I believe it's called Beguiled, right?
Oh, yeah. And just from the picture of the video, it looks like a very interesting video, too. So
yeah, and again, we're experiencing this at the first time, just like you guys are.
All we've seen listeners. Is the thumbnail of
we
the
video. We don't know
video, but
what this means or how it, you know, relates to the other double disc, Melancholy and Infinite Sadness. This is supposed to be the follow-up sequel, so we'll see. We're not going to run the whole thing because it is sort of long. So
here we go.
We're going in. You guys heard it.
And just to rewind too, I think I forgot to say the name of that rock album album is going to be Atum. I hope I'm pronouncing that right for our listeners. Atum. Atum is the name of this project.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an acronym or that's how you say it. But I don't know these bands. You never know.
Yeah, but that's the name. That's the little bit we listened to. I do very much encourage the listeners to go watch the video too. It is.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
I'm going to go with interesting. I'm not the biggest Smashing Pumpkins fan, and I had the bar set very low for this song, and I actually kind of danced in my chair. Like, and I found
did you like that one?
I did, and I found the music very upbeat. It made me smile. I closed my eyes. The video kind of was taking me in a direction I didn't want to go on because I didn't want to read into it. I wanted to listen to it, especially since it's the first time I've heard it. But I thought the hook was catchy. Like, I don't know. There's something.
Yeah, I definitely liked it. And I think we've talked about that before, too, is I do agree the video is kind of jarring and kind of takes away from the overall song. But I still would encourage listeners to watch it just because it's kind of like, what the hell?
Yeah, and hit me the same way. And we talked about this with, like, Silver Sun Pickups, right? So the first time you were here, you got free tickets, and we watched the video from Silver Sun Pickups, which was Thrills, something, whatever it is. Doesn't matter. It had that same vibe. Like, and you made a really good point, Mel, about how you didn't have MTV or whatever growing up, and you just listened to the song, and so you just close your eyes now. And so I tried to sort of use that, but I absolutely could not look away from that.
It's too distracting.
It is. And it's something else. And so, like, I don't know if it's like, oh, I'm going to use these visuals to distract you from how shitty my song is, or, like, it enhances it somehow in my mind.
Or somehow it could just be, like, you know, an industry thing. We need you guys to put out some music videos.
But like Mel said, she's, like, kind of dancing in her chair. Like, the first, you know, they run it through four times, that first riff. And I heard it. I'm like, okay, I've heard this a million times from a million different bands. But then it got me, and I'm like, okay. And then, like, I don't know who this chick is, but they brought her in, and she's singing. And, like, and then that, like, the harmony like made it better.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, now I'm in. But like, we're not going to ride the whole song on the show. But like, I think I could listen to it, and I will when we're done.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it was just kind of weird, and it was just reminded me of like, so the graphics and like the stuff in the video. And make sure you watch the official music video. It's the Smashing Pumpkins Beguiled official music video. It's on YouTube. You can find it. You guys are pretty smart. So, but it reminded me of a movie called The Cell with Vincent D'Onofrio and J-Lo. And Vince Vaughn. You can look that up in your free time too. But in that video, or in that movie, it's kind of like this video. And if you watch the movie, you'll know. But yeah, you can check that out
too. Yeah, well, it's one of those videos where if you're sitting by yourself on a computer and you put on this song, especially first listen to, you could watch half this video and be like, I just realized I haven't been listening to the song.
Not at all. It's so distracting.
Yeah, it's so much.
And so, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, the Silver Sun pickups, what was that song?
I forget the exact song name, but I can remember the video.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. The stars on the side of their eyes. Playing watermelons.
Yeah, and that's like, a good point, too, is like I can... It was a good song.
Physical Thrills is the record.
Right, and I couldn't even remember the name, but I could remember the video just because it's so jarring. Bizarre. And so and that's not good. You should... The song should stick out in your head more than the video.
Absolutely.
Well, I was just going to make the point that I'm usually not the first one to discover albums, bands, whatever.
We aren't either.
But this really leads me to want more. Like, now I'm actually interested in what the Smashing Pumpkins is going to put together.
Oh, yeah, the whole album.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because, like, the only reason I ever liked the Smashing Pumpkins before was because didn't they have an album, like, 1979 or something?
Well, that was a song on Melancholy and the Infant Sadness.
Okay, the song. Well, that was the year I was born. So that was the only reason I even knew that this band existed. And so, but this leaves me interested, and maybe that's just because I'm that much older, which if you just did the math, you figured out how old I am, too.
I also wonder, too, if maybe they tried to kind of recapture that same sound.
I don't think so, because this to me, like what I hear.
This was a lot harder.
What I hear in my head when I think Billy Corgan and the Smashing Pumpkins is not what we just listened to. Like, it came off a lot harder, a lot more sure of themselves.
Do you think that's why I don't know. Maybe, though?
Maybe.
That opening guitar was pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, if you just would have prefaced that and just give me four times through of that riff, I'd be like, that's 100% not Smashing Pumpkins.
Right.
But it is. And
well, and I didn't look at the video, so I didn't let it influence me, but...
Oh, you're looking now.
I am looking now, and what I'm seeing is a kid on ice skates, a kid in
no, a... No, we can't talk about it. Oh. There's a guy with a saxophone doing backflips. It's really weird.
Is that Abe Lincoln?
Maybe.
So in 5 seconds, we've had dinosaurs, Abe Lincoln, and a backflipping saxophonist. That doesn't tell the listeners they need to go watch this on their own.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Feel free to seek that out in your free time.
In your free time.
Yeah, rewind it. But...
interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I think we covered it. So, moving on. What else do we got? What else do we have?
I think we're just going to... we're going to just take a little break.
Oh, we're
going
to take a break. That's right. We're going to take a little sponsor break.
Oh, yeah. We cooled down a bit. But we'll be back in no time at all for the listeners. We just need a little break for ourselves.
Yeah.
We work so hard for all you listeners out there.
We
know.
We do.
Can't blame us.
We do. All right. So, we're going to take a little... quick break, and we'll be right back. Hey guys, welcome back. We're back from a quick break, and we have some sort of exciting things. We have some listener corrections for the first time. And then we also have some listener mail. So get ready for that. So first things first, I think we've been corrected. And I'm okay with that because, well, we encourage it. So there's a lot of times we say things and maybe they need fact checked or maybe, we get the date wrong or whatever.
We're just plain uneducated on the subject, and we need someone who's smarter to tell us.
Sometimes. And that's fine. And I'm totally...
We encourage it. I'd rather our listeners write in and tell us when we're wrong, tell us their opinions, tell us when we're just being plain stupid.
So apparently someone used their free time to look up a correction. Oh, so somebody, somebody took our advice and used their free time, and now we're going to hear about it.
So I think it was episode 2, and we talked about the oblongs. Or was it episode 1? I don't remember. But we talked about the oblongs. And I stated, as a matter of fact, that it was Nickelodeon.
Correct. And I believe I, along with Jared, said, no, that was on Adult Swim.
That would not be a kid's show.
Yeah. Nienta. So this is from Anonymous.
Oh.
Ooh. It says, Oblongs Correction. That's the title.
Okay.
Dear J and R3. I guess that's triple R. Maybe they were talking about exponents. Your co-host Jared and guest Mel were definitely correct when they said that the oblongs were an Adult Swim.
Vindication.
Just wanted you to know. Wouldn't want you to sound stupid. All the best from number one fan.
Oh, well, that's nice. They threw it out there. Hey, here's how you didn't sound smart, and I don't want you to sound stupid ever again when you talk about the oblongs.
Right, and if you want to do better.
And they don't want you coming for them. Anonymous.
Right, that's why. Well, they did say number one fan.
That's true.
But that's just like buttering you up so you don't take it as harshly, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, if you want to do better.
Number one fan when it comes to correcting you. That's all they listen to. They listen for the corrections just to tell us we're idiots. That's fine.
No, in their free time, they took the time to look it up and share it with us.
Maybe they just knew.
I just like to thank the person for listening. Definitely. and using their free time to think about us and to correct us.
Absolutely.
Well,
I also appreciate that we have a fan that even knew about that show, with how obscure it is.
Yeah, well, clearly I was wrong. I apologize, and I've been corrected.
And I think the other lesson is just to listen to Mel when she tells you something.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
First day on the job.
Okay, I'll stay in my lane. Sorry.
Right. Don't forget.
That was that move. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Your position.
In your chair.
I'll get the fuck out of this chair.
Oh, you're causing issues already. First day on the job.
Stirring that pot.
Oh, yeah.
Need a bigger spoon. I might tell you that. My pot is not easily stirred.
All right.
So.
Noted.
I fucked up. I said it was Nickelodeon, which now that I think about it. Yeah, probably not Nickelodeon.
Not next to SpongeBob.
No. Like butts up to SpongeBob, right?
Yeah, it backs
at the
up.
Fucking 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
It's oblongs. Oh.
Power lines.
Right. Nickelodeon dildos. After dark. Right. Yeah, no, it's not. You guys were totally right. I was wrong. Listener corrected us. Corrected me, actually. Corrected the show.
No, we appreciate it, Anonymous.
Yeah, and that's fine. Number one fan. That's how they signed off.
Love it.
I think we got some listener mail too.
Oh. Yeah.
It's from a really good friend of the show. His name's Art. Question for podcast. Fellas. You weren't hired yet.
Oh, okay.
So
I won't take offense.
You should not.
All right, I'll settle down.
Well, fellas is a non-gender term, just like dude. Hey, dude.
Sure. But at the time, it was a two-piece. It was Jared and I. Now there's three. So he wrote this prior to that. Long time listener. First time caller here. Question. Do you think there will be any bands presently in the rock and metal scene that can stand the test of time like the bands of our youth? Mm-hmm. That's one. He has a two-part question. So we can answer that.
Well, let's hear both of them so in case our answers are...
Okay. We have a baseline of the 90s and early 2000s rock and metal that is almost unbeatable, which I would agree with. Personally.
I think this is going to be an interesting conversation.
So part two question is, do you think rock has that in it still to create bands that will last 20, 30, 40 plus years? Party on Wayne. And I say party on Art.
Hell yeah.
And that's really his name. So.
All right. Read the first question again.
Do you think there will be any bands presently in the rock and metal scene that can stand the test of time like the bands of our youth.
Okay, stop there.
That's the end of the question. So
I'm very excited for this because I think it'll bring up a good conversation. And I think our generation gap will show a bit here. And I think that's a good thing. It's always a good thing when difference of opinion and perspective kind of not clash, but kind of talk. And I, to answer the question, yes and yes. I think absolutely there is plenty of talent that will not only live, but, you know, do better than that. I think flourish. Like, I think every generation has its own outliers as far as what it does for the culture and what it does for music as a whole. And I think it's a little bit up to opinion, but I honestly am going to say that I don't even think 90s and mid 2000s is the best, just because, like,
but that was his question,
right?
So, well, that's what we're going to answer.
Right. Well, and I am, in the sense that I don't think it was the best, but I think that alone is up for opinion, because I think what anyone thinks is the best is what they grow up listening to.
Sure. No, and I absolutely agree with that.
I do not.
Okay.
I don't think the music I grew up with is the best. I don't really listen to the music that I grew up with. Like, I like I said in my interview, like, classic rock is where I go to.
Well, can we run it back? Okay. Jared started, so.
Well, no, I mean, that.
Can he finish? Can he give us a band that he thinks?
Okay, sorry, sure.
Well, no, I do want to just point on what you're saying is maybe not necessarily grew up with, as in they're popular when you're growing up, but what you're listening to as you're growing up is the best. And I do feel like most people tend to listen to what's popular as they're growing up, I guess. And I think as far as 90s and early 2000s go, I wasn't even alive for most of the 90s, and maybe too young to fully listen to it. And I think I'm more in tune and in touch with my generation's kind of music in that genre, just purely because it captures the kind of emotion and angst and everything that I felt growing up. Not that everybody doesn't feel those emotions, but it's kind of the same emotion, different vibe, if that makes sense.
I can see your point.
But if I could just read the question again.
Sure.
Okay.
Do you think there will be any bands presently in the rock and metal scene that can stand the test of time, like the bands of our youth?
Right. And I absolutely do think a lot of the bands.
And youth means like whenever you were young.
Right.
Like, so.
So the bands out now.
I'm older. I'm not going to speculate on how old Art is. I know that, but you guys don't know him.
Right.
But I want to keep it vague, just so you don't lock yourself into a genre.
Right.
So, or a scene.
Yeah.
Or time frame.
Right. So, like, will our bands that are popping right now still be relevant 30, 40 years from now?
Or bands from your youth.
Right.
Like,
and I do. I truly do think that, if anything, they'll be more relevant, just not because of a skill level, but just a lot of the bands coming up now, too, have a lot more at their fingertips as far as relevance and getting that relevance. I mean, if you wanted to become popular 30 years ago, there's one way of doing that, right? Going through the industry,
sure.
Going on the radio. There's infinitely ways, multiple avenues. Right, and keeping that relevance too. And
sure.
Social media is a great way to literally one-on-one interact with the fans, and that goes a long way. And I think every generation has passion for the music they listen to. So I very much think most bands that are even a little relevant now will be just as relevant in 30, 40 years.
All right, so to Art's point, give me a band that you think is going to be relevant later. That's relevant now and still going to be relevant.
Right, just in rock or in all?
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
I mean,
he didn't specify. So right. Whatever genre you want.
I think some of my personal favorites are always hip hop and rap, other than rock. Those are my two go-tos. And I think people like, first of all, Migos, if you know who they are. I like that laugh.
Yeah.
They've made massive changes in the culture and sound and hip hop in the last 5 years as a whole.
And I gotta say I'm ignorant, and that's fine. But you can lay it on me.
Whipping up some stir fry.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, someone who might not even know the exact culture of hip hop as a whole probably knows things just from the Migos. I mean, it's so overwhelmingly easy. Not easy, but overwhelmingly. It's not as challenging to stay in light nowadays. Just you have so many different avenues to stay in relevance. You have social medias. You have 9-10 different streaming platforms.
Sure. I don't want to detract from what you're trying to say, but I just want to keep on track with the question. And not so much like in the weeds of, okay, well, you have other avenues to stay relevant. But like, I think the gist of the question is, without socials and all that other stuff, like, what band musically has the power to stay relevant, like bands from our youth, which is your youth, Mel's youth, my youth, whatever. So just give me a band.
Honestly, another great one would be Hollywood Undead.
They've been around
for a while, but
that's what you like. They had one banger, and that's all I knew, and it wasn't that great.
Yeah, I listened to that a lot growing up, and they are still in the industry and still very much putting music out and keeping relevance, and I think they have that staying power as well.
Okay, so Jared has Hollywood Undead. Mel, what do you got?
I was just going to make a general comment. I think that part of what Jared was saying was that the availability, he was taking the word relevant and making it available, that we have different ways of connecting, like SoundCloud, for example, pushes out all kinds of artists, and so you have access to them, so that makes that availability makes them relevant. But the staying power, like what I was thinking about, and I'll say it again, classic rock is my go-to. It's relevant because for the most part, in not all cases, but they were making statements about what was going on in society. And I think that that's what makes them relevant is, and I'm a history major, have a history degree now. But what makes them relevant in my world is that, you know, what we don't learn, we repeat. So the messages that they were trying to send through their voices, literally, in their music has come back. Like, or even if you take it to, like, what's going on? Marvin Gaye, like...
I'm with you.
Like, if you listen to the lyrics, it's like, what's going on? And you look at society at the time when he wrote it, and you look at society now, and it's like, what are we doing?
Right. Or like,
so I think what makes some of these bands relevant from that time period is that there was so much going on. You know, the Vietnam War, we're coming out of the 60s, 1968 had all kinds of different events that occurred that changed society. And so I think the social commentary is what makes them still relevant to me. And
that's your youth.
Yeah. Well, no, not my youth. Well, it's what I listen to.
That was the question.
No, but we talked about the fact that it would be what we listen to in our youth.
Okay.
And
all right, all right. Let's see where you're going.
And
I
smell
what you're stepping in.
Okay. And so, like, that's what I listen to because, well, like I've mentioned before, we didn't have MTV and we didn't have what was available. It was, like, what my parents put on and that's what I heard. So that's what I grew up listening to. But, like, if we talk about when I turned 16 and I started driving, like, it was... like, I don't know, a Tribe Called Quest and like...
Oh, Tribe, yeah.
Yeah, and like Onyx and like all these other, like KRS-One and like just different groups. And like, there are certain songs that like, even today I hear them and then like, I think about where I was in my life at that point and that makes them relevant. Does that make them relevant to all of the world? No, but everybody has those connections. So do I think any band now? I don't know. I don't think so.
You don't think bands are talking about... social relevance and
not in a way that communicates like if there's so much like slang and like I learned the other night like an attractive woman is called a dime, that's not like a cheap skank, that's like literally somebody telling you you're attractive.
A dime is 10 cents and she's a 10.
Well, I thought it just meant you thought she was a cheap
date. She's a dime.
No, so like,
but I still think that I think that might be exactly what I was talking about in the culture gap kind of too, because if you were listening to that music that had that message in say the 60s, it was for the people who knew the slang in the 60s. I think it's still the same message, just a different language, a different slang. I think a lot of the musicians are still putting out very socially aware and very socially forward looking and thinking music. I think it might just be a translation, lost in translation.
Could be.
Well, I got two bands for you.
All right.
And I'll make it quick and to the point. One is Deftones. Two is Slipknot. I don't know if they're in that order, but both those bands will be at the top. And part two to that question, 20, 30, 40 years, they'll both still be there. Because they've already done 20 plus years and they're still doing it. And to me, that's who it is. And I still listen to them, like, their first stuff. We talked about it earlier. I think before the show, before we came on, we listened to, like, Adrenaline, right?
Yeah.
By the Deftones. And that hits the same as it did when I was like 16. And it's amazing.
Yeah, but I think
that... And I've seen Chino Moreno, the lead singer, like gain and lose 300 pounds on stage every time I've seen him. And... But that's a obviously a transition for him, but to the music as well. And then I think to the fans, like I knew him as not knew him. I've never met him or whatever, but like, but the first time I saw them, he was just a couple years older than me.
Right.
And he looked like me and dressed like me. And he was who I kind of sort of wanted to be, you know, like,
yeah.
And then, and then in my 30s, like, you know, he's a little heavier, a little slower, but, like, he got it. And, like, he still made those sounds, or still made those songs sound great. And then, well, in my 40s, and, like, it's the same. And so I think to the question that Art was asking is, that's one of those bands that have staying power. And then Slipknot as well. I mentioned two bands. I know he asked for one, but I'm going to say two. But, and it's the same. I saw them... in the dirt, like third stage, Ozfest, like 98 or 99. And then I've seen them a whole bunch of times since then. And they're still relevant. They're still making music. I think we talked about it. Might be some Cutting Room Floor stuff. They had a new record that just came out recently. So yeah. We can run that back too, or rewind it as it were. So, but...
I think it's interesting how the three of us kind of took that question in a totally different way. Like for me, relevance meant how do they talk to me, what do they speak about, whereas Jay was talking about like his connection and where, like what he remembers and how they related to him when he found the band. So I think it's interesting how
we all took relevant to mean something different.
Right. Yeah, and I wasn't trying to like beat either one of you up with that. It's just like I was just trying to stay focused on the, you know, the listener mail, we got.
And I think we all kind of got lost in translation where, yeah, relevant meant something different to all of us. And so we were all kind of a little confused by each other's answers. But I think we all got to a place of understanding each other, too, once we just listened to each other.
Well, and again, I don't know if I've said it on the show or not, but that's what one of the things that's so great about music is it opens up conversations.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And perspectives and the feelings that go along with it and like just our way of defining relevant and how something becomes relevant or stays relevant was, you know, different based on what we experienced.
Right, just like 2 weeks ago, you mentioned Led Zeppelin. It was like, I want to run. I want to laugh. I want to cry. And Kashmir is one of the songs that can do all those things for you. And that's one song from one band.
Right.
Which is another band that has staying power. I mean, I don't think they're doing anything currently, but like they're going to be relevant till like society ends.
Right.
Well, okay. Music is interesting in that way where two complete strangers can automatically become really close friends by a 10-minute conversation about music because there's so much emotion and everything tied into music. So,
and not to cut you off, but I'll be completely honest. The guy that wrote that email, that's exactly how I became friends with him. We're total complete strangers.
But you hit it off over a song.
And we hit it off over music.
Yeah. And it's just...
And I don't know. I joined the Air Force in 2003.
Yeah.
And so that's almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I still talk to this dude regularly.
I think it partially has to do with like, you know...
Regularly.
Yeah. And it's like you don't really know a person when you first meet them. But if you say a song and they're like, oh, I love that song, that tells you a lot about that person. And you automatically have that connection. And it's something to talk about and... You know, music is an amazing unifier.
Yeah, absolutely. And so with that, Jared, you got anything to plug? What are you doing this weekend? Going anywhere? Doing anything?
I've been doing too much the last month. I got to just sit.
So you got to chill. Okay. Oh, yeah. So Jared's on chill mode.
How about you guys?
Mel?
Nothing.
You're new here. So what's up?
Family stuff.
You got family stuff?
I got family stuff.
Okay.
I said with a smile. Good to hear it.
On an audio only format.
You can hear my smile.
Sure. I don't have anything, but you can find us as a show. Three piece now, apparently.
Yay.
Vote for Mel.
And they did.
The Rock Rewind Review at Gmail. And our biggest forum is the Rock Rewind Review on Twitter. So that's our biggest platform that you can find us at. If you type it in anywhere really on the internet, you can find us at Instagram. And if you want to download the show, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Gmail,
Apple, Spotify, Google. Gmail,
wherever Google, you find your podcasts. Everywhere.
Oh, and Pandora. I made sure. Oh, and Pandora. That's my go-to.
Yeah, that was odd, but I like that. Yeah, no, seriously. I would never have considered like looking for podcasts there, but
one-stop shop.
Yeah, one-stop shop. So, you know what, guys? That's a wrap.
Well, maybe I'll go shopping.
Ooh. Okay, great. We'll do that in your free time.
I am.
All right.
This weekend.
All right. So we're out. And again, you can catch us on patreon.com/TheRockRewindReview if you want to donate to some kids who want to make music, they can't, and anything in between.
Yes, sir.
Good night, everyone.
All right. That's a wrap. We're out. See you guys. Peace. See you next week.